time and ask that God would bless our study. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the blessing of worship, God. And I pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts on this topic of the heart of worship. God, how important it is for us to have a heart of worship. And so, Lord, as we look at this text, God, you have for us this morning, as really I just share things that I believe you've placed on my heart, I pray that you would speak. I pray that you would bring it to life. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church, as a people, would grow in the area of worship and become a church that honors you when we come together corporately and worship and praise your name. So speak to us through your word, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The heart of worship, Mark chapter 1, pick it up with me in verses 40 through 42, and believe it or not, that is all the verses we are going to read today. So, a lot packed into these two verses that I want to draw for us here this morning. So let's read of Mark 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So, that being the totality of our text here this morning, what can we draw from these verses? What is the Lord wanting to speak into our hearts in the area of the heart of worship? And the first point I have is how we come to Jesus. Right there in verse 40, now a leper came to him. Well, first we need to understand what this really meant when this was written, or not when this was written, but when this happened rather. What does this mean, this leper coming to Jesus? Well, let's describe leprosy. Maybe you know, maybe you've heard, but I found this quote from Barclay when describing leprosy, and it says this: "Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are affected, the muscles waste away, the tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulcerations of the hands and the feet. Then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes, until the end a whole hand or a whole foot may fall off. The duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. It is a kind of terrible progressive death in which a man dies literally inch by inch." So, I don't know about you guys, I knew what leprosy was, but when I read that quote, I was like, oh, now I really know what leprosy is. So it brings more volume to what's going on here. And the second thing we must understand is, how was a leper treated? How did people treat leprosy in the day? And maybe some of you know, but according to the Jewish law and customs, one had to keep a distance of 6 feet from a leper. And if the wind was blowing, if you were downwind, then it says that you would have to actually keep about 150 feet away. So the wind's blowing and there's a leper, you were 6 feet, oh my gosh, the wind's blowing this direction, clear the way 150 feet. Because they were afraid you'd catch the disease, you would become unclean, you would catch what they had had, the lepers, and this is what they believed. So it was a very, very sensitive situation. So much so that when a leper would enter a group or enter an area where there was people, he would have to announce, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," to let everyone know that he had leprosy. So this is the way they were treated. And really, if we had to, the obvious depiction here is that leprosy is what sin is and what it does to a person. I described what leprosy was. That's really what sin does to our lives. We slowly, if we give place to sin, it slowly, what? It eats away at us. It deteriorates us. We lose nerve endings. We lose sensitivity to things that maybe we were sensitive at one point, but because we've given place to sin, our hearts have grown hard, and it's like, no big deal. Yeah, that used to bother me, but not anymore. And so much so that it eventually leads to death. James would say this when he talks about giving in to temptation or the lust of your flesh or the desire of sin. And he says this in James 1 verse 15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, Leprosy, sin, same thing in our spiritual lives, really resemble what sin can do and has done and is doing in our lives, in our generation. Now, if you're saved by Jesus Christ, then you've been freed from that sin. But if you're not here, if you're not, and you're not a Christian here this morning, and you haven't accepted the Lord, well, you might be experiencing that slow deterioration, that's a big word for me, of sin destructing your life, destroying it. You feel it. Those some of the things I was saying, yeah, that kind of is what my life feels like. And so I would say the heart of worship starts with an understanding of the need for a Savior and coming to that Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the heart of worship. It has to start there. You're never going to be a worshiper. You're never going to be someone who worships in church and during music and in your everyday life and your activities if you don't understand that you need a Savior and that you come to the Savior. It has to start there. Matthew says in his gospel, describing also in verse 40, he says, "And behold, a leper came and worshiped him." So he's talking about the same story, and we read here, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him." Another terms Matthew summarizes that as worship. So this leper, check this out, he comes and he begins to worship Jesus. He begins to implore him. He falls down on his knees before him. Pretty crazy. When you read it in the Gospel of Matthew, and there's different commentators that believe different things on where this falls chronologically. Most side with certain things and whatever, but I wasn't going to get into the chronological order, except that in Matthew, when he says, it says he just came down from the Sermon on the Mount, and the multitudes were following him. So somewhere along, the multitudes are following Jesus. Jesus is just doing these radical miracles, crazy things are happening, and in the midst of all the chaos, in the midst of him teaching and giving sermons and people being healed, he's traveling, and this leper in the middle of multitudes falls down at Jesus' feet and begins to worship him. Now this Greek word implore, here we go, church. You know I don't like to pronounce Greek words. Parakaleo. Hey, got one. Parakaleo, and it comes from the root word kaleo. And some of the things it means are synonyms I looked up. It means to call, to summon, to urge, to implore, to call upon, to plead, to beg, to exhort, to invite, and my favorite, to ask for earnestly. Now, the Greek word for kneeling down is ganyipateo. Okay, cool, huh? To rest one's weight on one's knee before someone. Okay, got that. That's what kneeling means. Often as a sign of reverence and submission or shame. So, the reason I share those fun words is so if we were to read verse 40 and we were to add some of these things in, it would read somewhat like this. Now, a leper came to Jesus. He kneeled before him in reverence and submission to him. Calling, begging, pleading, urging, inviting, imploring, and asking him earnestly. A lot more volume there, huh? A lot more than, oh, this guy came and implored and knelt. Or he came and he worshipped. This is the heart of this leper, and this is what I'm trying to draw for us here, is the heart of worship. Sure, you can come to Jesus, but this is the way we come. And I would ask, when's the last time you came to Jesus in worship and with this kind of heart, with this kind of desperation, this urging, imploring, begging, pleading, asking earnestly for the Lord to meet with you, for the Lord to fill this place? And it's so important for us as a church. Have you ever been so desperate for something? I can kind of share a funny story, and I'm going to get points for this also, but I remember a certain point in me and Justine's relationship when we were just dating. We had broken up, and I remember feeling like desperate for her. I know that's silly and whatever, but I remember I was just like, oh my gosh, like, what if, you know, all the drama, all the things that were going on, and we weren't talking, we weren't speaking, we were broken up for a certain amount of time, and I remember even feeling like anxiety, like, and I even got to the point where I remember I was trying to call her, and she's like, I don't want to talk to you, and I was begging, and I was sick, please, I'm changed, I'm a new man, I do care for you, and you know, the whole thing, and I remember just like, I was like losing sleep over it. I was like, oh my gosh, she was supposed to be the woman of my dreams and my wife, and I messed up. And, you know, I remember that. And I remember feeling so desperate in that situation. Well, obviously, you know the story. We are married. Woohoo! And I share that funny story, but really, it's obviously, It doesn't relate to what I'm speaking when I say our desperation for Jesus should be so much more. And I want you to notice something about this leper. I don't see anything casual about the way this leper is approaching Christ. The heart of worship does not come casually or ordinarily to the feet of Jesus. That's not what worship is. And unfortunately, it's probably what our culture might have painted it to be, or even church has painted it to be in America. It's this casual thing you do before the sermon. It's this warm-up so people can come and, you know, okay, yeah, the music is going. At least I got extra time to get my kids checked. It's this casual mindset, this like, yeah, okay, cool. And it's nothing's casual about the way this leper is coming to Christ. So what does that mean? Do I need to wear a suit to church? How many of you know that we don't believe in that at Calvary Chapel? Amen. I don't know if I had to wear a suit every week. That'd be rough. I struggled putting on a suit at Easter, especially because my weight changes. It's like, whoa, this doesn't fit anymore. I still try to fit in the suit I wore on my wedding day. Not going to happen. That was after living in Hawaii and surfing every day. So best shape of my life. That's no longer exists. So anyways, do we wear a suit? Do we come? No, that's not what he's talking about. That's not what I'm trying to draw to our attention here. Notice this leper has nothing on the outside to bring, to show for his sincerity, his genuine heart, his genuine worship. Everything on the outside screams, you have nothing to bring. You have nothing to offer. In fact, you're an outcast. In fact, you're unwanted by society. In fact, you're considered unclean. That you're just short of someone. If someone were to touch you, it's just about barely short of someone touching a dead person. This is what they thought in the day. And now you're coming. And you're coming with this person, this leper. Nothing to offer, nothing sincere, but what does Jesus see? Well, Jesus sees the heart, and it's rather the heart of worship that is glorified here. It's the heart of the leper that we see. And it's the same thing in our acts of worship in life and our acts of worship here as a church. You know, we can come and we can put on a show sometimes. And we can come and maybe you even lift your hands in worship. And maybe you even kneel in worship. And maybe you put on this facade that things are going just dandy spiritually. And everyone on the outside looking in says, that guy, that gal, she's got it together. I'm telling you right now, the Lord sees straight through all that junk. He sees directly to the heart, and it's the heart that he's after. Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit about the expression of worship. And really, what happens in the heart should what? Yield forth fruit in our expression and worship. And we'll look at that a little bit next week. But we can't get the expression right. We can't be outwardly worshipers if we don't understand what really what needs to happen is what's going on inside. And so if you struggle with this concept, I would say that you probably struggle with being humble, to be honest. It's a humility issue. It's a heart issue. Because this leper comes humbly before him. Leper had nothing to lose. Leper had nothing to hide. This leper had nothing to stop him from coming to Jesus. So I would ask us, what do we have to lose? What do we have to hide? What stops us from coming to Jesus with this heart of worship? Some thoughts you may have. What about my reputation? What about the way I look? What about what people think? What about what I've done or where I've been? What about the mistakes I've made? What about me, me, me? Well, I've got news for you, church. Worship isn't about your reputation, it's about His. Worship isn't about the way you look, it's about the way He looks. Worship isn't about what people think of you, it's about what He thinks of you. Worship isn't about what you've done, it's about what He has done. Worship isn't about where you've been, it's about where He's been. And to finalize this statement, worship isn't about you, it's all about Him. And as much as that's powerful and it speaks, for some reason we don't get it, you know, when it comes down to being practical in worship. We think some of these other things, right? The things I mentioned. Well, what about so? What about this? You don't know where I've been. And we have, it's like, worship's not about us. Worship's about glorifying Him. And guess what? He never changes. He stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why should our worship be changing and up and down and, oh, I had a good week, I had a good day. No, that's not what this leper has. I would imagine where this leper is, he's in not a good day, not in a good place. I mean, his body is deteriorating. He's dying slowly, inch by inch. And yet he comes with this heart of worship. And I would say the heart of worship is a heart that recognizes it's all about Jesus. You guys know the song, the old song, The Heart of Worship, right? I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Sing for me, you know it. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about him. Let us come back to the heart of worship. We sing that song. We know that song. It's an oldie but goodie. But yet, we'd come sometimes without this heart. And this leper knew it was all about Jesus. And what does he say also in verse 4? If you are willing, you can make me clean. Notice, if you are willing. This leper takes a position of humility before Christ. Now, I already touched on that, but it just continues to flow throughout the text. He's completely humbled and subjected to his will. Now, this is something I want to touch on. Sometimes we think we can impose our will upon the Lord. We even can come to church. We can even sing the songs. We can worship and think that, okay, well, because I'm doing these things, I'm doing my spiritual duty, I'm doing the things that I'm trying to practice and learn. Well, then why am I not experiencing the blessing? Why am I going through a trial? Why am I going through something difficult? And we think that, well, if the Lord should line up with my will, if I'm worshiping him, right? This leper easily could have came, fell on his knees, and began to worship him and began to beg and implore him. And then it says, he could have said in the rest of verse 40, you know, because I've been worshiping and imploring and begging, you should pretty much heal me. No, that's not what he says. If you are willing, subjecting himself to the Lord's will. And when we come with the heart of worship, we are subjected still to God's will for our life. I mean, do we really want anything other than the Lord's will for our life? Well, yeah, I want my will. I want what I want. I want what I think he should be doing. I'm doing my due diligence. I'm in church. I'm a part of this church. I'm here. I'm worshiping. I'm on time. And so he should kind of side with me and do what I think he should be doing and what I think kind of blessings he should be bringing. But notice this leper's heart is no, if you are willing. And the heart of worship is a heart that understands that the Lord's will for their life is all that matters. It really is. It is the only thing we should be focused on. You'll remember when Jesus prays to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? In Luke 22, verse 41 through 42, it says, he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In Matthew 6, verses 9 through 10, we would quote this as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet, we quote these things, but we don't live by them. But we don't come with this heart of worship. And Christ himself is an example in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so I would say Christ not only preached this, but as he does with everything, anything Christ spoke and taught, he what? He led by example. He did. He practiced. How many of us actually practice, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Well, I say it. I know the verse by heart. I even pray it sometimes. How many of us actually believe it? How many of us actually live it? What's the Lord's will, not what my will is? And so our worship should not be dependent upon God's will lining up with mine. And so often it can be if we're not careful. If it doesn't line up with what's going on, then maybe my worship changes. And that's not the heart of worship. And that's not what we're learning here from this leper. Sometimes we aren't going to feel like worshiping God because of something we're going through. Sometimes it might not feel like God is even here or there in your life right now. Anybody ever felt that? Where's God right now? Anybody? I have. Where are you, Lord? I don't see you right now. I don't sense your presence right now. I don't feel like you're even with me going through this fiery trial, through this situation. I don't know where you are. I don't know. This is hard. This is definitely what this leper must have been going through. I can't imagine he was feeling on his best day with leprosy. This is a great day. I'm sure he felt like an outcast. He felt ridiculed. He felt ashamed. He felt unclean, which is what society told him. He felt like it was probably, where is God? Who is God? Is there hope? Is there anything for me? And for some reason, he had found it in Jesus. You know, up to this point, Jesus has done some ministry. I mentioned earlier, he's taught studies. He's been ministering, performing miracles. And I can't just help but imagine, even though the text won't say it straight out, that this leper was maybe watching Jesus do things. I'm sure he was there for a sermon that Jesus had taught. I'm sure he was there witnessing a miracle that Jesus had performed. I'm sure maybe he even was there for some time and just checking him out. You ever done that with anything? Or really, how many of you had done that before you got saved? I want to check this thing out. I'm going to come to church and see what these, you know, Christian freaks are all about. But I ain't committed to anything. I just want to be a guy in the back seat and watch what's going on. This is probably maybe, possibly, what this leper was thinking. Let's see if this is legit. Let's see if this is for real. And he was seeing and hearing, I'm sure, of all the wonderful things. But how many of you know that hearing and seeing is very different from believing? Very different. Something happens within the heart. Something happens within the person before they're a Christian, before they're saved, that believes, that has to come to that faith and believing, I believe in this guy. I believe in this Jesus. I believe that he can heal me of my sin. I believe that he can do a work that's beyond my understanding, beyond my wildest dreams. I believe that God can do that. And so what? That's how we become what? Saved. That's how we become believers, we would say. Born again. And I would say, and I mentioned this even last week, about the people looking from the outside at the presence of God falling with Moses in the tent. How many of you are tired of seeing and hearing about Jesus transforming other people's lives, but not your own? Now that sounds kind of crazy, but I don't know. I think that can become taxing. That becomes, if I was in that position, I would say that'd be very tiring. And it's almost as if this leper was just, I'm just trying to put myself in his shoes. Man, I'm tired of seeing all these wonderful miracles and wonderful things happening. I want a taste of that on my own. I want a taste of Jesus. I want to experience him in my life. Now listen, no one can force you to have that as a believer. I can't force anything to happen in your life as an individual here this morning. I can teach on worship till I'm blown in the face. I can share all the thoughts and the scriptures and the things that I feel the Lord's giving to me, but it's still going to come down to, are you wanting to experience Christ in this way? Are you wanting to come with this kind of heart so that you can experience Jesus Christ's fulfillment and healing and rest that only can come from him? Now, if you're a Christian, then you've experienced that, but why does it sometimes end there? We get saved. That's when you experienced healing from your sin and set free from your bondage, from your chains. You put your faith in Jesus and you experience this peace, but then your worship is something that is just lacking. And so your experience doesn't go beyond salvation. The Lord has so many much more wonderful things planned for your Christian journey. You're not just supposed to be a seat filler. You're not just supposed to be a Christian who doesn't do anything or doesn't sense God's presence or doesn't feel him working in and through your life. God wants to do wonderful things. He wants to, how many of you guys need continual healing? I know I do. I need him to continually heal me. I need him to continually fill me. I need something fresh from him every morning I wake up, every day I walk this earth. God, heal me from my mistakes, forgive me for my things that I've done yesterday, and give me strength and the ability and the sovereign grace and forgiveness to get me through today. That's a daily thing, and it happens within the heart of the worshiper. It happens within the heart of the believer who says, I want to cry out to Jesus with all my heart, with everything that I am. And he says, you can make me clean. And I say that and I emphasize it because there is not a doubt in this leper's mind of Christ's ability to heal him. He's rather showing such wonderful and beautiful, again, humility of subjection to God's will. I know you can. It's not a matter of if you can. And I think sometimes our worship, we might come, you might even be here this morning, and you're a little discouraged. And you're just, I don't even know if the Lord can heal me of this. I don't even know if the Lord can set me free from this bondage, this sin, this trap. I don't even know if the Lord is with me through this trial. And it's not a matter of, Lord, you can. We don't say you can make me clean. We go, oh, I don't even know if you can, Lord. Now, although we would never say that out loud, and we might not even ever think it consciously, there's this subconscious thing that's going on. And our faith shows it, and our worship shows it. God can't really get me through this situation. God can't really heal me of this debilitating disease. God can't, God isn't, and we might even be doing this here this morning. And we doubt Christ's ability to work in our lives, conquer situations. And this will affect the heart of worship. If you don't have faith in who Christ is and what he's able to do, your worship will suffer. Period. Your heart will suffer. The way you worship the Lord will be different. But if you understand that God will take you through any valley, he will take you through any blessing and land of milk and honey, but he's with you in the lows and the dry seasons and the fire, and you understand that he's able to get you through and bless you and heal you and work in your life, believe me, if you truly believe that, your worship will show it. It will be evident. By what's happening in the heart will come out. And so we look how Jesus responds. My second point, how Jesus responds. Then Jesus, in verse 41, moved with compassion. I love that. That's like, I don't know. It's not my favorite verse in the Bible, but it should be maybe. Jesus moved with compassion. And I would ask, was Jesus moved with compassion because the man had leprosy and he felt bad for him? Was Jesus moved with compassion because of this man's outward state or appearance? No, I don't believe that. I believe Jesus' heart was moved with compassion because of this man's heart coming humbly before the Lord. That's what moves Jesus. Do you know that, church? You want Jesus to be moved with compassion towards you? Come with this man's heart. Come with this man's attitude and heart of worship. You want to experience the compassion of Christ and the moving of his power and his spirit? This is the heart we must put on. No outward show, no outward appearance, no, I put my time stamp in, I've been going to this church for this long and I came this Sunday. That doesn't matter what's going on in a year. That's when God says, looks down from heaven, I believe he says, amen, I see that heart and I am moved with compassion and he is ready to work on his behalf. This man's heart of worship is powerful and something that we all can learn from here. And really, this point here, when the heart of God is moved by our hearts of worship, as a corporate body, when we're worshiping, singing songs, and lifting praises to our God, when the heart of God is moved by our hearts, you can expect him to do something miraculous. And this is really, if I had to give a overlaying theme to the whole series on worship that I'm teaching for the next till next week, it would be this. God wants to do a deeper work in our church. And I firmly believe that it's going to happen and begin with the heart of worship. As we as a church embrace this, I can worship all I want as a person, as an individual, and God will bless my life, and God will fill my life, and I will experience the blessing that this leper feels. But I'm telling you something, there's something more that is desired in my heart, and I hope yours too, that when we come together as a body, as a force, really, and all of our hearts are on this same unified in this mindset of, I'm coming with this heart ready to worship, I believe we're going to see God do some miraculous things. And you're just like, well, God's doing miraculous things. Amen. I believe God wants to do more. I have faith that God wants to do beyond anything I could ask or think or you could imagine or where whatever the church has been, will be. God wants to do, I know the way my God works. I know the way he works. And if I expect him to do something amazing, he does something amazing. If I put God in a box and be like, okay, well, once we fill the seats in here and they get kind of full, it's like, shh, that's maxed out. God's done working with our church and doing. No, are you kidding me? God can do whatever he wants. God can stir revival, and God can, I don't know, you know, I just have faith. And I believe it's going to happen if we understand this mindset of coming together to worship him. If we don't come together to worship as the body of Christ, I believe it's going to affect what God can do, and it's going to hinder him from being able to move in our church and in our lives. I want God to be moved with compassion for La Mirada. I want God to be moved with compassion for the families and the lives that are surrounding this community. I want God to be moved with compassion to use us to affect the community and the lives around us. It starts with worship. It starts with humility. And I would say this to the young person. I have the youth in here this week and next week. Sorry, guys, you're in prison. Stuck with the old fart over here. So much older than Pastor Weston. Sorry. Snooze, you lose. No. I believe that God wants to work in your generation. My generation, I know I'm young, but even the generation after me, the high school, the junior high, those that are in here in service representing those, I believe that God wants to see a greater outpouring of his presence in the young people. And I think it's going to start when the young people worship. You know, when I was in high school here at this church, I had half my high school here and half my high school in Monrovia. We went to plant the church. And I remember even growing up through junior high, third and fourth grade, all the way, the kids would sit in here and drink, would come in here for worship. And I know the youth still does, but even down to like the third and fourth graders. And I remember the reason we reserved the front seats for the young people was because the young people set the pace for what worship should look like. When the congregation, when the adults, the parents, the older people would see the young people in the front row crying out to God, it would move on the hearts of the congregation. And they would say, wow. I honestly believe that that was what maybe at that season, what our church tasted of back in the day, back then, was that. The Spirit was moving, and it happened in the hearts of the young people, which set the standard for the rest of the church. So young person, don't come to church because mom and dad make you come. Don't come to church because, oh, we have to. It's what we do as a family, and when I'm 18, I'm out of here. Don't come to church for that reason. Come to church expecting God to move and work. Come to church with a heart that says, man, I don't care about what anyone thinks. I'm going to give praises to my God. And watch how God begins to move in your life. Watch how God begins to move on your campus, in your individual lives. Watch how God begins to move here in the church because you're setting the standard. And I'm telling you, when the young people worship, when the youth worship, it's contagious. I've experienced it as being the youth doing that. And I've experienced it as adult, as a youth pastor over at Calvary Chapel Monrovia. The youth began to worship. Something was happening. Something was moving. I shared a little bit about it last week. And when I see some of the youth that I'm pastoring at Monrovia, and they begin to lift their hands, and I begin to see tears from their eyes, and I begin to say, man, I know what that individual's going through. I know what she's suffering with. I know what struggling with depression and all these things, and yet he's worshiping the Lord. I think, oh man, my problems. Silly me to not worship. And I begin to worship, and I begin to be drawn into the presence of God. So listen, youth, you have a powerful ministry here at this church. Don't let anyone say otherwise, and don't let the devil himself speak otherwise. And so in verse 41, it says, stretched out his hand, and he touched him. Touched the untouchable leper. The person he was supposed to keep at least 6 feet away from. The person who was unreachable, untouchable. The person who no one wanted to be in the same room or vicinity as Jesus. Reaches out, and he touches him. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I give you the gospel. I give you the heart of Jesus Christ. It's right here. The untouchable, the sick, the disgusting, the sinners, the wicked, the horrible people that we are at our core. Jesus looks down, and with love, and he reached out, and he touched us. And he saved us. If that doesn't speak to your heart, if that doesn't move, if you will, an emotion within you, then check your heart. Check whether or not you're even saved, because when you think about that, if you dwell just for a moment on what Christ has done for you, on how he has reached out and touched your life, man, your worship will show it. I know mine does. I know when I focus on that, all my problems, all my worries, all the things that I think are important begin to fade into the distance as my Savior has touched me. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And in finishing out in verse 41, it says, "And said to him, I am willing, be cleansed." Listen, the only place of true healing and cleansing is at the feet of Jesus. That's the only place you're going to find it. If you need cleansing today, if you need a touch from Jesus today, then come humbly with a heart of worship to the feet of Jesus. Not only can the non-believer find salvation this morning, you can find salvation in Jesus, but for the believer, we need cleansing and healing also, don't we? I mentioned it earlier. Don't we need a cleansing and healing? Come to the feet of Jesus. Cast your cares upon me, he would say. Leave it at the cross. Leave it at the feet of Christ. All the things that might, maybe something happened right now. Maybe something happened on your way to church. And you're even having trouble listening in the study this morning because it's just distracting you. Leave it at the feet of Jesus and experience such wonderful healing and cleansing. That's what he has for us. That's what he wants for us. This heart of worship. I'm going to have the worship team come on up as we close here this morning. Yes, that means come up now. They're learning. Just kidding. Now, many of you know we've been starting worship with three songs to leave more time for worship at the end. For us to practice what we're learning. This heart of worship. I wanted to give opportunity, okay, the word soaks in, it ministers to our heart. Don't you just want to practice it now? Yes, I do. I want to practice it. I want to express myself to the Lord. I want to express what's going on in my heart. And so this morning I want to give opportunity for us to do that. And just before we start with worship, and verse 42, we can't skip it, right? As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately, as soon as he had touched him and had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him. Listen, there is always evidence in a person's life when they've spent time with Jesus. The evidence in this man's life is he was healed miraculously. The evidence in our lives is maybe you need to be healed miraculously this morning from your sin and you need to accept Christ. Or maybe you're a Christian and you need to be healed miraculously by God just giving his healing presence to you right now. It's going to come when you recognize what we're learning here this morning and say, I'm bringing the truest, the best way I know how, the best way we just learned, the heart of worship that brings honor and glory to his name. God will heal you, God will cleanse you, and it will be evident in your life. You'll leave here a changed person, you'll leave here a different person. Your worship might even change this morning. Oh, God forbid, you might lift your hands this morning. You never lifted your hands, no way. I've never knelt before the Lord, I've never expressed myself to him. In fact, I don't even like singing in the songs. If there's something happening within your heart, believe me, you will like singing the songs. You will be compelled to fall on your knees. You will be compelled to lift your hands to him. And if that's not happening in the heart, then don't fake it. But if it is happening in the heart, then it should be evident in the way we worship the Lord. It should be evident here this morning as we close in worship. When we come to worship the Lord, come with this heart and begin to see the miraculous evidence of him working in your life and in this church. Amen. But usually, if you need to accept Jesus this morning, I know I usually do this invitation in prayer. Maybe some of you are wanting to accept Christ and you're like, oh man, I wish you were doing it like that today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the altar for you to come forward and accept Christ. If something about this message or something about the Holy Spirit and Jesus has touched you, and you want to be cleansed this morning. And it's a double invitation. One for the new believer who has never tasted of Jesus Christ. And the second for the person who needs to rededicate their life. You've fallen away and you need to come back to the feet of Jesus this morning. You need to rededicate yourself to Him and His calling on your life and believing in Him. If that's you, one of those two people, if that is you, get out of your seat now and come forward. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you just come forward, just stand here. I just want to give a little more time. Anybody else? Yeah, right there's perfect. Anyone else? Anyone else want to accept Jesus? Anyone else want to be cleansed by the only thing that can cleanse you? Come forward now. If I could have some of the prayer team come forward for these two individuals. Come on up, just lay hands on them. I'm going to pray. We're going to close in prayer, then we're going to begin to worship. But I'm going to pray for you guys to accept Jesus this morning, whether it be rededication or whatever it may be. And we have prayer team to talk with you guys afterwards. I pray, and they're just there to love on you. But let's pray in celebration. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for salvation that is here. Thank you for those that have come forward, these two, God, that have said, I put my faith in Jesus here this morning. God, I pray that as we're praying for them, as we clapped as they came forward, God, all of heaven is rejoicing. All of the angels are singing, worthy is the Lamb, because of these two souls that are putting their faith in you, whether it be rededication, whether it be first-time salvation, God, all of heaven is rejoicing. God, as they take this step of faith, as they say, I need the cleansing power of Christ in my life. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died for me and my wickedness and my sin and my shame. I believe that you want to set me free from those things. I believe that you rose from the grave and conquered sin and conquered death, and that nothing can be standing against me, God, if I put my faith and trust in you. God, would you hear that heart? Would you hear that soul? Would you hear that cry? And would you bring salvation and cleansing into their lives here this morning? As they put their faith in you, God, may their life from this day forward be radically changed, like the leper. He's healed of leprosy. It doesn't come back. They're healed of their sin. It's not coming back. But God, you have set them free from their sin. So Lord, we thank you for the work of your Spirit through the teaching of your word, through the presence of God in worship. And God, we ask now that as we go into a time of worship, that our hearts would be set to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is still saving souls today. In Jesus' name, amen.